Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Luke here from Osaka and cannot wait today to get to share God's word with you. It's such an honor for me to be able to do that. And wherever you're watching from right now across the globe, I just want to encourage you, God wants to speak to you today. So let's pray together and then we're going to jump into this word that I've got really burning in my heart today. God, we thank you that you are going to speak to every single person, no matter what situation they're in today, no matter what's happening around them, God, you've got something to say. And I pray our hearts would be open to you today. God, that all other distractions would go and we'd be ready to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Rod, a couple of weeks ago, preached a message about a man in the Bible called Jairus, and it was an incredible message. I encourage you to go back and check it out. But I've actually had this story, the same story on my heart. I've got a bit of a different take on it, and today's going to be a bit of a different kind of message. I'm really going to share a lot of my testimony, my story, other people's stories. It's going to be really encouraging, and I even feel like the Holy Spirit right now, as I get ready to share this, I feel God, I feel the presence of God, and I hope that today you will experience some encouragement, some lift in your life through this story. It's in Luke, my favorite book of the Bible, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Jesus comes into a town called Galilee. That's his kind of local area, and people were overjoyed to see Jesus. And verse 41 says, then a man named Jairus, who was a local Jewish leader, he came and he'd obviously been in distress because he fell on his face in front of Jesus, and he desperately begged Jesus to come to his house and heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, who he obviously cared deeply about because she was at the point of death. And so this is a crazy story. This incredible dad, amazing dad, who when there was a problem in his house, his daughter was incredibly sick, was almost dying. His first thing was like, I got to get out of the house and I'm going to go find a solution. And I love this heart that he has. I want to be kind of dad like that, where he's like, I got to go find an answer. I want to take responsibility for my household. And he runs to find Jesus. He hears that Jesus is a miracle worker. And I love this. And I don't know what kind of guy Jairus was. It says he was a good guy. Maybe he didn't like crowds, but on that day he didn't care because it was all about helping his family. Maybe he was busy at work, but he didn't care because his daughter was sick and he needed an answer. Maybe he was tired from doing all the things that he was doing and carrying responsibility, but on that day he didn't care because there was only one thing that mattered, and that was his daughter was sick and maybe Jesus could heal his daughter. I love this story today. I called this message, if you are faithful to sow it, he is faithful to grow it. If you are faithful to sow into your family, Jesus is faithful to do miracles in your family. And recently I've been just hanging out with people, and on Sundays it's been so great. And just I got to talk to some great people, families who dads have been telling me they've been stepping up spiritually during this pandemic. They've been stepping up spiritually to lead their families. It's been so good. And I just want to congratulate and just applaud you, all of you fathers who are stepping up spiritually, just like Jairus, to lead your family in a moment of challenge. Well done. I want to congratulate some single people. And I've been talking to young men who've been stepping up in their share houses and with their family members. They've been rising up spiritually to get some strength and give strength when other people around them are struggling and need help. I want to congratulate you, man. It's so good. And there's some people here. I just want to encourage the parents. It's been a challenging year. It's been a different kind of year. And I know you've been sowing extra into your kids. Maybe for the mums here, there's been more kids at home. There's been more planning. You've been sowing in more. And sometimes the things seems like in my house, like the house is going crazy. And I know we've been putting more effort into our kids. I almost fell off the stage then. More effort into our kids. But I just want to encourage you. You're doing amazing. You are. Maybe you don't feel like you've got everything you need, or you're underqualified. You never signed up to be the teacher and everything else. But I mean, God is using you. I just want to encourage you that as you're being intentional about sowing into your children during this season, I believe God is going to do amazing things in your family, just like we're going to read in this story from Jairus. When you step out in faith, when you be intentional about helping your children, about building your family, God is going to show up big time in your household. And I just want to applaud you and just say, well done. Every parent, you're amazing. God is with you, and your children are blessed to have you. And I believe God is gonna use you in a powerful way. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced this where I felt like I have two children. I got two, Hugo and Lucy. I'll just share a little bit of our story. Hugo is a very social kid. Really switched on to the things of God, even from just a very young age. Has just got it so quickly. And it's just amazing some of the conversations we have, and I've shared some of those things before. And I've got another child, a daughter, who is just amazing, and I think so. She's great, and she's more cheeky and funny and witty and living in the moment. And you know, we're sharing with her all the time, and she's definitely not a deep type. She's more of a spur of the moment kind of girl. We've been sowing in God's word to her and just trying to encourage her with the things of God, be a good example the best we can. But it kind of seemed like, to be honest with you, it kind of seemed like it was bouncing off her. And for quite a while, you know, I got to the point where I was getting a little bit discouraged, because I was thinking like, Luke, like you know, you might look at us and say, well, you're meant to be a professional at this. You know, your children should be the ones who are really, really getting it. And I started to sort of question, like, am I good at this? Am I a good parent? Is there something that I'm doing wrong? I'm sure you've felt this. You're trying your best, but there's this voice in your head saying it's not good enough. And we know that's the voice of the enemy. We know that's not true, but there's something that's sort of nagging away there. And but what's been really amazing is through this pandemic season, I have seen something change in my daughter. We've been sewing in for years. She's 5 years old now, and we've been sewing in a lot, but something has changed. All of a sudden, recently, my daughter, seemingly out of nowhere, has started speaking up about her faith. It's incredible. I mean, she was being the one, we pray around the dinner table every night. Well, every chance we get, every time we're together, we pray together. And she's been the one saying every time recently, like, I want to pray. And recently she's been sharing her favorite Bible stories to me that she really wants to read out of a bookshelf full of books. She goes straight to the Bible. And I was just so excited. You know, the other day she came to me and she said, just a couple of days ago, she said, Daddy, I had a dream. I'm like, okay, you had a dream, okay? She said, yeah, a monster was chasing me in my dream. I said, okay, what did you do? She said, I was running. And then I remembered about praying to Jesus. And she said, I started to pray, Jesus, help. Jesus, help. And then she said, and suddenly Jesus was there, and he got a sword and cut off the hair of the monster, and he cut up the monster, and Jesus saved me. She's telling me this story, and I'm laughing inside, but actually my heart is leaping, because all of the sowing that my wife and I had been doing in kids church workers, your incredible Lifehouse Kids, been sewing into my daughter, was like nothing was wasted. You know, I thought things were bouncing off, but that's not true. It was all going in. It was all of that stuff that we'd been sewing in there. God had been working through that. And suddenly It came out like a rush. And I just want to encourage you parents, if you've been discouraged, maybe you're thinking your kids are not getting, I want to encourage you to shake off disappointment, shake off comparisons with other kids or other families. That is not helpful. Your kids are amazing. Your kids are from God. They're special. You have been chosen to lead your kids. There is no mistake. You're in the right family. You are chosen by God to lead your family. So let's step up for God and keep on sowing, because God is going to grow it if you keep on sowing it. How do we do this though? How do we build a great family where we're going to bring Jesus? Because we're going to read soon about Jairus is bringing Jesus into his home for a miracle. How do we do that? One of the ways we can do that is through habits. Habits establish a new normal. Habits. I think that Jairus had a habit. He had a habit of when his family needed him, he stepped up to help. He had a habit of putting his family first. Let me ask you this. What is the habits that you're creating in your family? You might say, Luke, well, I'm not really proactively creating any habits. Well, that is your habit. But the good news is, anytime you can start creating a new habit, and your habits create a culture in your home. Maybe the habit is we pray together before we eat. That's a great habit. Maybe it's before bedtime, we always read something of the Bible, just a little Bible story. We have fun with it. That's a habit. Or maybe for our family, we always say that Kennedy's a good forgiver. This is a habit that we are trying to create in our family. It's a proactive habit. And I want to encourage you, parents, single people who are living with other people in your home, children who are living with older parents, create a habit. Your habits are actually powerful to build a great family, to build the next generation. The second thing that I see is the truth. Jairus brings the truth, and the truth establishes what is right. Habits establish what is normal. The truth establishes what is right. We're going to read in verse 51. It says that Jesus arrived at his house, and Jesus only allowed Peter, John, and along with the parents to go into the room. He only allowed a few people, and Jesus told the other people to go outside. And others were crying, and there was a lot of voices, a lot of emotions, and people were saying the girl is dead. She had died on the way that Jesus was coming to the house. She had died, and they were saying this. And then Jesus steps up in the middle of it, and he says, "She's not dead. She's only sleeping." She's not dead, she's only sleeping. This is incredible because Jesus brings this truth into this family where there's so much chaos happening. Jesus brings the truth, and the truth is about to change everything in their family. If you're looking for the truth to get into your family and take its effect, I encourage you parents and family members and friends that if we want to get the truth, we've got to start with Jesus. We've got to start with Jesus. We've got to lead with Jesus, not with Google. Have you ever Googled your symptoms? If you're feeling sick, it's a bad idea. You know, I did that recently, and I mean, I had so many diseases. It was crazy. But you know what? The truth is so powerful in our lives. And when we go to Google, when we go to other areas to get what the world would consider the truth or what we would consider to be normal, you know what often happens is the ways of the world can quickly become the ways of our home. And we're going to be careful about that, that we don't let what's normal in our culture, in our society, become normal in our homes. If you want to create a God normal, then you got to get God's truth. The best way to do that is the Bible. I mean, journaling, it's so simple. Just reading a little bit of God's word, writing something down. This is a habit for me of getting the truth. We have a habit of getting the truth. And I want to encourage you to make God's word not a chore, not Christian homework, but a value in your life. And if there's some voices in your home that are causing you to pull back from the truth, maybe it's time to make some decisions about what voices you want in your family. Jesus, he didn't allow everyone to come in. He said, only a few people are going to come in because we need a miracle today. And this miracle, we can't have the world's voices around saying miracles are impossible. We can't have the voices saying this will never end or this is terrible. We can't have that. We've got to have the voice of God in our lives. So I'm asking you, parents, family members, I'm encouraging you, saying, come on, let's bring God's truth into our home. Let's make God's truth number one in our home. Turn up the volume of Jesus in our homes. The third thing that I see is that experiences are important. Experiences make the truth and habits come alive. We talked about habits create a new normal. We talked about the truth shows us what is right, but experiences bring it all together. Experiences help us to experience those truths. If you go to a restaurant, I don't know if you've done this, if you go to a restaurant and you sit down and you look at the menu, the waiter comes to you and says, what would you like to order, sir? And you say, no, I'm not eating today, I'm just reading the menu. I mean, the waiter's going to look at you and say, like, what? She's going to look at you confused, like, that's weird, right? But if we have the truth and but we don't have experiences with Jesus, the book of Psalms says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus is not just a religion to study. He's not that. He is someone to be experienced. You can experience the goodness of God in your home. He will show you that he is amazing. We're going to read this in verse 54. This is what Jesus did for these people. He says, Jesus approached the body and he took the girl by the hand. This is this sick girl who has died, and called out with a loud voice, my sleeping child, awake, rise up. Pastor Rod preached about this key phrase. I encourage you to go back and watch it. Instantly, her spirit returned to her body and she stood up. Praise God. Jesus directed her stunned parents, as you can imagine, to give her something to eat and ordered them not to tell anyone what just happened. This is a crazy day. It's gone from the worst day ever to the best day ever because Jesus, they have just experienced Jesus in their home. Oh man, I want you to experience Jesus in your home. I want Jesus to be the person who's bringing the habits, who's bringing the truth, who's bringing the experiences in your home. That's my prayer for you today. I want to share just a little bit about my childhood and my experiences of God. I hope it encourages you. This is a little bit different, but I don't think I've ever shared this story like this before. But my nan, who passed away just a few years ago, lived a life of incredible faithfulness, amazing person. My family had grown up with a lot of alcoholics, gambling addicts, a lot of drama, violence in our extended family. I have a very big family, a very wild family. And my nan, I remember sitting as a five-year-old child, sitting on her bed very early in the morning watching Joyce Meyer preach on a TV screen, like one of those old school TV screens. We're talking about 30 years ago now. And she would sit there and she would take notes on the bed every morning. And that's how she became a believer in Jesus. See, just before I was born, my nan, she'd been watching this and she had received Jesus and through the ministry of Joyce Meyer. And it's really incredible. I'm thankful for that, that today I'm speaking to you through a TV screen. And I believe that God can touch you just the way that God touched my nan all of those years ago and saved her through a screen. But anyway, I was born just after this, and I was born with a very rare blood disease. And the doctors said that I would die. or if I did survive by some miracle, that I would be blind and deaf. And so my parents, who didn't, they had some faith, they didn't know what they were doing. There wasn't any churches in the small town that we were at. I was in the ambulance going to a big hospital trying to save my life. My mum's got this brand new baby. My nan's become a Christian recently. All of this stuff is happening, and my mum opens the Bible to the book of Luke, and she's reading this story about Jesus healing this child. And then she doesn't know what to say, but she looks up to heaven and she starts to pray. And she says, "Jesus, if you can do it, then please, please heal my son again." And it's just an incredible story. When I got to the hospital, I was perfectly normal. Incredible story, and it's like all the doctors were shocked. I was just a normal little baby. I had one problem though. The doctors said I basically had no hip joints, and my leg was just kind of swinging around. And my father, who was a rough man, and he had heard this prayer, and he angrily told the doctors to get out of the room, and he grabbed a hold of me and held me up and said, "God, one more time." That was his only prayer that he knew. "God, one more time." All of a sudden, he was wiggling my legs around, and all of a sudden the doctors come back in the room, they check my leg, and they cannot believe their eyes that my hip is totally perfect. It's a miracle. It's a creative miracle that God did. Creative miracle. And I'm just so thankful that God cares about our families. God cares about your family. And if you're sowing into your family right now, I want to tell you, God cares about your family. He loves your household. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is a scripture for you today. I want you to get it in your heart. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of sowing in, because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Don't give up on sowing into the next generation, because if you will keep on sowing it, God will keep on growing it. Just 16 years later, after I was born, I left my small town and went on a missions trip to Indonesia. Shout out to my Indonesian brothers and sisters. I love you. Your nation is on my heart, and I pray for you regularly. I went on this trip to a small town where I got to preach the first message ever in my life. I preached on faith, and we're in a little town called Singaraja. And it was a small group of people, about 30 people, and I began to preach. And at the end of the message, I didn't think it was a good message, but I had faith in my heart. And a woman, she brings up a newborn baby up to the stage, and she says, "The doctors are saying that my baby's gonna die." And she said, "Would you pray for my baby?" And so I'm thinking, wow, my faith is like tested right now, because the same thing that had happened to me in the hospital, where someone prayed for me as a baby, is now happening to me. And so we prayed for this baby, and nothing happened. I walked away disappointed. I walked away discouraged from my first message and thinking about this baby. Anyways, we're leaving the city. We're going home to Australia, and I feel like it's unfinished business. And this, we're in the car, we're ready to go home. And we start driving down the street, ready to go back to the airport. This woman starts running down the street. This woman's running at the car, and she's waving her hands for the car to stop. And she says, she starts speaking Indonesian, and I'm saying, what is she saying? And it's the same woman from last night. She's got a baby in her hands, and she's screaming, "The baby's healed. The baby's healed. The baby's healed." She just keeps on saying it, "The baby's healed." I'm looking at the baby. The baby looks perfectly fine. The baby's totally healed, and I just want to praise God and thank God. And it's incredible. And what's so amazing to me right now is that, you know, just a few months ago, we just started out, I think it was like number 46 campus or something like that. We just started a brand new campus in a town called Singaraja. We just started the first Lifehouse Church in Singaraja, the same place where I prayed for that baby as a 16-year-old and saw God do a miracle that day. We are now reaching out and we are seeing people, young Indonesians, get saved in that same town. And I just want to encourage you today, whatever you sow in, whatever you sow into the next generation, God is going to grow it. You do not know the faithfulness of God until you start sowing. You will see God do incredible things, far more than you could ever imagine. God will use your life. He will use your faithfulness. Maybe it seems like a small thing to pray for a child or to read a child a story. And I want to encourage our kids' church workers, our Lifehouse Kids people, you are incredible. You may not see it as a big thing to love the next generation, but God sees it as a big thing and He's going to use it in a big, big way. I'm so excited for you. I want to pray over every household right now. I want to pray over every family, every single person that's living in the share house. I want to pray God's blessing over every home. And I pray today we'll take this heart off. I want to be someone who brings great habits into my house, who brings the truth of God into the house, who brings Jesus, who experiences Jesus in my home. If you want that, I want to pray for you today. Let's pray right now. God, we thank you that you love our families so much, and even more than we love our families, you love our families. And I pray your blessing. I just want to pray a blessing over every household, over every share house, over every child who's living with parents, over every family, God. I want to pray your blessing. And I pray, God, for your truth to shine true in our hearts and in our homes. I pray, God, that we would experience your miracles. Even in this season, it's been a challenging year. I pray, God, we would experience miracles. We would experience you, Jesus, in our homes in a powerful way like we've never seen it before. I pray we would experience it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's give God a big hand right now. And if you don't know Jesus, this same Jesus who we heard about people praying to Jesus and miracles happening today, I want to encourage you today, you can pray a prayer to Jesus. He will answer your prayer. I'm going to pray a really simple prayer right now. Maybe the first prayer for you, it's inviting Jesus into your life. And it's going to be a simple prayer, but I believe God will hear it. So would you pray with me if you want Jesus in your life? Jesus has died for us. He rose again from the dead. He has given us everything. And today he wants to come into your life. So we're going to pray right now. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a big hand. This is incredible. Our whole church is celebrating with you right now. If you prayed that prayer, I believe God is going to answer that prayer. You're on a journey now with God. It has begun. And we would love to help you in any way we can. Please get in touch. Right after this message, you're going to get some more info about how to do that. But there's links below right now that you can click, save it for later. Check it out after this service finishes. And we would just love to get in touch and help you in any way we can. Now, coming up, we've got Christmas coming up. It's incredible. We are going to sow into children. You know, all of the month of October, we were taking offerings for the next generation. And we're going to be giving big time from our church into the next generation. And I want to say thank you for your generosity there. If you still want to give, I'm sure you can. But we're going to be giving gifts to children. Recently here, I know in our campus here, we recently gave 100 masks that people had handmade to a local organization helping children. It was such a wonderful thing. Every week we do kids Zoom parties, and I would love, this would be a great habit for your family. I would love to invite you to bring your kids into this kids church environment on kids Zoom parties, or however you're doing it locally in your campus. Get in touch with your campus pastor, because we would love to help you to sow into your kids. We've also got the English Kids program happening right now. It's on demand. You can see it on all of our YouTube channels right now. Or you can go check out the Lifehouse Kids YouTube as well. So I just want to say you're amazing. Thank you for all you're doing, sowing into the next generation. Have an amazing week. God bless you, and can't wait to see you next week.